companies who usually turn to me when they either happy with the processor, but they know they can do better. They might have a processor. They feel like, hey, these prices are too high. They look at their account and they're trying to figure out, why are they charging me all this money? They get frustrated. They have poor customer service. They trap them long-term contracts. All these things. And at that point, conversation can start and we just kind of evolve to see where you are, what are you doing now, and how we can make it better. Because that's ultimately the goal, to make it better.
You're an entrepreneur and you make vital decisions that hopefully blossom into a business. You're the savvy, out-of-the-box risk-taker who believes wholeheartedly in the process of innovation. Innovation that will change the world. This is CEO Chat with Gresham Harkless, and you're about to embark on a journey through the awesome world of business. Gresham is the epitome of drive and desire as he works to help support small businesses and entrepreneurship. And you're about to learn from this entrepreneur how you can improve your odds of success in the business world. Welcoming the host of CEO Chat, here's Gresham Harkless.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Gresham Harkless from CEO Chat, powered by CVNation.co and Blue 16 Media, your choice for all your website design and digital marketing needs. And this was an awesome chat with Barry Parker, the owner of the Blue Group LLC. Barry helps business owners and entrepreneurs with their credit card processing needs. And during the chat, we heard Barry's story, including him being a police officer during the terrorist attacks on 9/11. And we also spoke with Barry about, of course, credit card processing and things that we should know as entrepreneurs and business owners, and especially startups, things we should kind of stay away from. And finally, the importance of people, process, and profit in terms of building a business. So what I want you to do is just sit back and enjoy this CEO chat with Barry Parker. All right, Barry, you still there with me?
I am still here.
Awesome, awesome. Well, thank you so much for kind of taking time out of your schedule to kind of speak with us. The first question that I usually have is just if you can tell us a little bit about your story, tell us a little bit about your background and what kind of led you to start your business.
Not a problem. I'll start from where I was born. Brooklynite, born and raised in New York. Parents, well, my father was a pastor for like 30 years. So I grew up in a church. So it was normal every Sunday to go to church. His philosophy was kind of like everyone matters, and I kind of took on that as well. Doing, with him being, he was kind of prominent in the area in Brooklyn, so he had a lot of connections. And I say that because I have to admit it, I was spoiled, which I have no problems with. It was fun. However, in that same token, it also kind of I think inhibits your growth because you have a different mindset as far as wanting and waiting for things. You kind of know you're going to get them. You get a little bit selfish or just expectations. And wasn't the greatest. Always had a desire for more as far as in school. Didn't really apply myself. Needed to be a little pushed further. But, I wasn't. So I went off to school, went out of state. I guess that's kind of, now that I think about it, it's kind of a theme for me. Just went to Florida. From Brooklyn to Florida, the farthest point. So that was a preface for what was going to come. I went to Florida, didn't do too well in school, but I ended up graduating anyway. Got a thank you, Lord, a degree in psychology. came back, still wasn't sure what I wanted to do. Like I said, I had a lot of connections within the area, but I ended up joining NYPD. So I was a cop up there doing 9/11. Towers came down. It was a whole lot of foot posts. So we were standing around, just looking, waiting, standing. And when you do a lot of standing and looking and cold and you just standing there, you contemplate and think. And, it's like, I do one more out of just standing here. There was always a desire to kind of want to start a business, did network marketing, always learning, vivacious learner. And my lack of focus and not having that urgency didn't let me follow through and complete, the projects that I started. Because I was early adopted to 800 numbers. This was a while back ago. 800 numbers were the big thing. but, I've been looking and had a kind of understanding of complex concepts and business things from the outside, just looking and reading. So fast forward, had a disgruntled partner in NYPD. He went down to DC and joined the DC Police Department. He kept talking about how great it was. I was kind of in that transition mode. Hey, you know, let me get out. I want to get out of the area. Thinking about starting a family. So I went down after long prayer, thinking and praying, and it just felt like, okay, let me go. This was a big, huge challenge. Again, I'm ripping myself away from family, all that's comfortable, connections. I was pretty set. I could have been very comfortable, but, you know, I still wanted more. So it was that internal desire. So came down here, struggled. It was just difficult. Almost, it made me grow up, and I needed, you know, my family just started. They had a new baby. Wife was coming down, and I had to take care of things. I went forced. It was led. I started, found one of my online mentors. I say my online, but distant mentors, somebody who doesn't know their mentor, but they're pretty prominent in their field. He had a partnership with this credit card processing company where he would offer his services, and that would be added value for the business owner. So I discovered credit card processing following one of my mentors and kind of dove into it, new to it, wasn't sure. One of the lessons from the organization was to join networking groups. So I joined BNI, Business Network International, discovered them, and that was kind of my dive into developing my business. So it was a force, but it was the desire for me to start working or start my business. And it was a slow process because I had to rip away all that old dead skin of bad habits. So that was, hopefully it was a condensed version, but that's how I got started in business.
No, that's an awesome story. And especially thank you for, you know, your service, especially during 9/11. I know that had to be a kind of a crazy and chaotic time, a lot of uncertainty, definitely for people, obviously in New York, or definitely, you know, the police force and the firefighters and anybody provided any type of service like that. But I can imagine it's just a crazy time for everybody. I remember when I saw it on TV, they almost thought it wasn't real. It didn't seem like that could actually happen. So actually being there, I can't even imagine that.
It was surreal. Just standing on the pile of this building that you knew all your life and looking at it from that perspective and feeling the heat coming from beneath you, it's because there's fires still going on, searching for people. And it was constant, you know, alerts because they were thinking other buildings were going to collapse. It was a very surreal time. Smoke for weeks, you know, coming from the site. And, you know, we had to go there pretty much every day. And even when it was happening, it was just chaotic. I was supposed to be down there when the attack happened, but I just happened to get another assignment early in that day. So it was, I'm thankful to God that, you know, these things work accordingly, you know, because it could have definitely been me down there when the towers came down. It was a life, you know, one of those things that stay with you for the rest of your life.
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely somewhat imagine that, I guess. It's hard to actually say that. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean because I don't at all. And I don't think anybody probably much does unless they were actually there. So, but definitely, obviously, a blessing that you weren't there when you could have been there. And, you know, we had the opportunity to speak with you today. So that's super excited about that. It's funny that you were talking about your story and how it always looked at people that were like super successful, which is always relative, but, you know, had reached a level of success, or even anybody who's lived a long time, and you kind of ask them their story and you always think that it goes from A to B to C to D. But really what I found and what I read and what I hear from, you know, entrepreneurs and business owners when I speak with them is that it goes from A sometimes to B, then it goes to D. Then it might go to Z, then it might come back to L. So it's funny just to kind of hear how sometimes those things that you don't, or maybe you're not crazy passionate about, or you feel like it's just not your path, kind of leads you towards where you should definitely be.
Yes, it's circles, you know, that you sometimes get off and you stop and pause, but the straight line when it comes to these stories, your story, people's stories, it's not a straight line. It's a zigzag because you have no clue. As I was sharing this story and just thinking about, like, as I went away, it just was a realization to me when I said I went away all the way to Florida. And then I find myself, you know, 15 years later, leaving New York, again leaving. So it was just, you know, it was this leaving. I needed to leave, you know, and to grow up. And it was just, as I said it, it kind of like oh, the epiphany, it was just clear, like, oh, yeah, I've been constantly, you know, doing these, leaving, knowing that I need to, there was some more maturity, some more growing I needed to do, because I didn't get it on the first go around. It was more play when I was in college, unfortunately. But, you know, it was right. Like, all right, I'm not done cooking yet.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I went to Howard in D.C., and I always remember the T-shirts that said, Howard University, the best 4 or 5 years of your life.
Yes.
So it just depends on how much money you want to have.
This is true. I think you can say that all around. It was the best 5 years. Yeah, I did have good 5 years.
Right. No, that's awesome. That's awesome. So and you transitioned, but you eventually found yourself starting a credit card processing company. Could you talk a little bit more about like what that is and what that consists of and how that kind of connects with our target listeners, which are entrepreneurs and business owners?
Sure. If your customers want to pay you, they can either pay you with cash or they can pay you with their credit cards. I set up the ability to accept their credit cards or the checking accounts for business owners. You go to the store and purchase an item, you put your card in, and now it's just a norm. You know, we take the card out. Most of us don't even have cash in our pocket. We use a debit card or a credit card, and we just swipe or we use the chip. I supply the equipment or the means, the account to transfer that money from that person, your customer's bank account to your bank account, and that whole make it seamless. That's the purpose. That's the idea, to make it as smooth as possible and have that money deposited into your business checking account. There's a lot of stuff that goes into it, but it's really, when you break it down, it's a bank-to-bank transfer where your customer's credit bank, which whatever the debit or credit card is tied to, it transfers money over to your business's bank account. And so that's the backing of it. But there's a whole lot of programming things going on over. So that processing, customer service, this equipment set up, you know, the right means, how it's done, all that, I help you with that process. There's the banks, when you go in a bank, they offer it, but that's not their specialty. They deal with cash, making loans, whereas my company specializes in actually the relationship, the setup, the process, the customer service, making sure everything is right, problem solving. That whole nine. So companies who usually turn to me when they either happy with the processor, but they know they can do better. They, you know, they might have a processor. They feel like, hey, these prices are too high. They look at their account and they're trying to figure out, why are they charging me all this money? They get frustrated. They have poor customer service. They trap them long-term contracts, all these things. And at that point, you know, conversation can start and we just kind of evolves to see where you are, what are you doing now, and how we can make it better. Because that's ultimately the goal, to make it better. So I have the philosophy, and it's been used and is used regularly, but people process profit. People first. Let's figure out the process, and then the profit comes if everything is seamless on the other end. So I work off of that philosophy.
I love it. I love it. People process profitability.
Yes.
That's what you said, right?
Profitability, profit, is they from the same word. People process and profit.
That makes perfect sense. And it's funny that you mentioned that, because I think that especially when, you know, entrepreneurs and business owners might first start their business and they do all the work to, you know, get that first client, and then they get that client to pay them. Maybe they want to be super efficient, so they might, you know, send an invoice online, or they might get a credit card, and then they get ready to look in their bank account and they realize that it's not the full amount of what it is that they sold. So it's something that is obviously an important part of the process, especially nowadays with, you know, so many people not carrying cash and probably even fewer people that are carrying checks, that often, you know, people are using plastic for transactions to buy services from, you know, business owners or entrepreneurs. And obviously it's a very important piece. So I guess, could you take us through maybe a scenario of like how you help clients? So say someone calls you and say, hey, Barry, I need some help. How does it go from there?
If they're already processing, they have a merchant account is what they call it in the industry. I look at their statement, and if any business owner who's been called by other merchant processors saying, hey, can I get a copy of your statement? The statement is pretty much the vitals of the account. They kind of give a blueprint, the health of the county. And it allows me to see how you're being processed. What is it set up? What are these extra fees? How does your current processor have your account set up? Because you can be set up in the wrong account and be getting charged more. Just think it through. This is, you're dealing with a bank and they're all about risk. And so merchant accounts are about risk. They're risk heavy on cards that are not present. And I mean, when you have transactions, when you key in a card. So we see how you're set up, see if you're having a lot of what they call in the industry non-qualified, if it's in a tiered account. But if it's in that, it's like, well, why? Especially if your customers come to your store, they're face-to-face, or you do a lot of swiping, why are you getting these extra moving to that bucket? And so I look at that and see where you are. I go and have a team, because it's not just me. I have a team of people that work on the back end. They review and see where you are. We say, okay, well, what's more important to you, the price or the course? What service or value? Because one of the things I try to convey, which in this industry is always, hey, we can have the cheapest rates. We want to, we save you this. Is that, yes, that's important. What about the back end on service? What about, because this is a business, mine as well as yours. And so I want to be fair to both of us. So I want to try to lower your costs as best as possible, but also want to provide you level of service where you actually feel it, where I'm available. If there's an issue, call me. You have my cell number. And so we look at that whole picture and say, well, what's the most important to you? The rates, service, equipment, what's going on with your equipment? How are you doing it? So I do evaluation to see where you are. And at a point, I come back with a proposal statement saying, okay, we can provide this, 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 we can remove this. Have you done, there's certain requirements that as a company who accepts cars, they must do a test annually. A lot of times, unfortunately, business owners just focus on the business, which is what they should. They drop the ball and they're getting charged unnecessary fees. So I try to give an education on certain things within their account and say this, you can do this, do that. And if they say, okay, let's move ahead, I don't do contracts. So I have no contracts. I do month to month where we have to prove my worth to you. You know, if you don't care for what's going on, you will walk away. We set you up, fill out the applications, 3 pages. Once everything is approved, which is in a day, we make sure you understand if there's a software involved, whether it's online, you have to add it to your shopping cart or the retail, the equipment is arrives, I can program it. Make sure you understand what's going on. And at that point, walk you through the actual testing and it's there. So I come and drop in and check in on you. But that's kind of like the initial, like from bolts to nuts. And then I'm just going to make sure you are satisfied.
Awesome. 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 Yeah. I mean, that's great to know, especially I'm sure the contract piece of it sure probably resonates with people, because I've talked to a lot of entrepreneurs and business owners and some who have had, bad experience with credit card processors. And like you mentioned earlier, like that when they realize that they aren't happy, they have signed like a 3-4 year contract. So they're usually super frustrated, super fearful from even talking with anybody or even having that conversation. Chalk it up to say, hey, well, we're just going to lose that money. But there's definitely more of an opportunity, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah, definitely. As far as the contracts, some processes that they have a cancellation fee. If you have a purchase of phone on a plan, you already know about cancellation fee. At some point, if you're trying to get out of that, they're going to either charge you the $250 or whatever the price of the phone is or not. So most of processes either have a range of $300. I've seen to as ridiculous as high as $1,000 to get out of some of these contracts. If it makes sense, if we can save you that much money and, you have to look, sometimes we don't look at the long-term, the annual, but if you look at it annually, if our savings are over the amount that you're going to have to pay, if it makes sense, we'll pay half. We're sharing your costs on canceling if the long term you're going to make more money. So we'll work through some of those cancellation fees if we pay for some of it, and we'll go half on your costs just to make sure it's not a huge decision on you switching with us. And then from there, we just got to earn it. And the no contract is something that was coming for a while, because that was like, I'm in a contract. I hear a lot, I'm in a contract, I'm in a contract, I'm in a contract. I just switched. I'm in a contract. I mean, you know, you also have to look at your costs. All contracts, if you read them, a good attorney will tell you this, they're breakable. They're, you know, it doesn't make sense to do that. And you have to look at it on the economic side as well as service side, as well as, you know, is this company providing what they said they were going to do? And if not, you know, you move on to someone who will get the job done. Makes sense, especially economics. You know, you need to make money. You might want to make that move, even if it's to pay a fee.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense, especially if you are doing a lot of volume, and it might still be, even with the, you know, the break of the contract, mm-hmm. more economical and advantageous to kind of move over. But I think that you definitely mentioned a point, which I think a lot of people also forget, is when you sign a contract, it's binding between, you know, two different parties. So not only do you sign a contract and say you're going to provide payment or whatever that is, but that merchant or other party that you're doing service with also has that contract, and they have to abide by those rules too. So kind of understanding and understanding what's in the contract, and understanding, one, if it's worthwhile to even break, or two, if it's even, you know, if they're even kind of holding true to what the contract says, is something that's very important.
Oh, so true. Sometimes these contracts are so long, you know, and you just think about the apps, how many apps that you just click on and accept, and they have the terms of them. You know, you go on a website and it says you know, terms and agreements, and you check the box without even looking at the agreement. And those things are so long, but they're telling you what you're signing over, but also, hey, we also abide by this. Like, you know, the information, we're not going to sell it. We are going to sell it. But if they break that, then they have broken the agreement. And, you know, it's an agreement. It's just a written agreement, a document that's understood in the court that this is this. But two parties, you're going to be my friend, and these are the terms of our friendship, blah, blah, blah. Oh, I told you we were not supposed to talk. You broke it. We're gone. You know, when you look at it like that, it's a more tangible understanding. So if they're not providing service that they're supposed to, then, you know, it's you have a cause to break it. And they contracts are broken all the time. If they're not meeting the agreement standards.
Right. That makes perfect sense. Awesome. So I know you gave some, you know, tips and tidbits about things that entrepreneurs should kind of focus on. I wanted to see if there might be anything additional, maybe like two or three tips that you can say these things are kind of things that you want to look for if you're thinking about a credit card processor, or you're even having that conversation or thinking about doing it. Are there some kind of like high level points that you can say, hey, pay attention to ABC?
Yes. At this point, Sage, there should be no leasing of your equipment, unless you're talking, especially when I'm just talking on the terms of credit card processing. If you're a manufacturer, if you have high-end equipment, that's a totally different story. But leasing is not necessary. There's too many processors who give away complimentary or free equipment. So look at that if they're talking about that. Look at the prices on what, if they have a sign up of to have free equipment. It's not free if you have to pay a fee to get into the free program for the equipment. Look at the terms of the contract on the back of it, you know, before you sign it. See what it would cost you to leave. And it's negotiable. You know, you can say, I'm not willing to pay $1,000. I'll pay $500 and have it amended. There's the negotiations. Remember, you're providing a service, but you don't have to agree to it if you don't like the terms. And you can have a conversation about those terms. Some are more flexible than others, but some are set in stone, but you won't know unless you ask. Cost. If you are selling small items, so I say price points, $10, $15, you know, $5, then you want to make sure that your transitional costs are less. And, you know, that's what you want to focus on, because there's a cost for each transaction. And they, in a sense, they should be at least. But you want to make sure that's lower, because you're going to have a higher volume on that. And you want to, you know, watch your rate, but you can't really say you can't control it, because the card industry, each card has its own rate, wholesale rate. And just focusing purposes, understanding, unfortunately, a lot of times businesses talk about rate. What's your rate? And I get this access question all the time, like this arbitrary, hey, what's your rate when I'm coming to talk to the business owner? What's your rate? Because they tell you my rate is not relevant. What's my cost? And the cost includes everything else about statement fees, everything else. You know, like statement fee, transactions, monthly minimum. That's really the truest picture, and there's no way to actually give that unless we look and see what you're doing now. How you accept each card, there's a wholesale price. As a business owner, you have the cost of your doing business, whether you're purchasing products. There's a wholesale cost. And in credit card processing, there's a wholesale cost. And that's the card, the rate, that's your bottom line. And then everything else, as far as all the other people involved, is where you start adding on the profit, the extra, the margin. Those can be adjusted, but the rate of that card, it can't. And so it's a hard thing. And if I tell you a rate, I'm just throwing a number out. And I just want the entrepreneurs and new business owners to understand, don't focus on the rate, because you get caught up in it, because you don't know if your customer's going to come in with a debit card from Bank of America or they're going to come from Federal Credit Union. And each one of those may have a different cost price, may have a different price. What's the margin? And you won't see that until you get a kind of better picture of what your volume is. And so kind of stay away from the rate. What's the cost? And a good analogy, bringing back, I guess, back to the church. I was just reading something in the Bible, Luke 4. We talk about where the devil was tempting Jesus, and he was saying, hey, you can have all this land, you do this, and I'm paraphrasing. But it was, what's the cost over the benefit? All right, I already know you can have these lands if you just kneel to me. I already have the land. Cost was too great over the benefit of me just succumbing to that moment. So think beyond just that moment, and rates are moments. You need to look at the cost as a business owner. And there's a whole lot more factors that go into that cost, and that's what you need to focus on. As far as service, you know, access, reps, and I say reps, who's opening the account? Can you get in contact with that person? What's the availability? That's very important, because a lot of the businesses, credit card processors, they have, you know, 24-hour 1-800 numbers, but you want to have the person who signs you up. Now, if you're doing the bank, and I let, you know, banks, I have no issues, but that's not their specialty. And so you're dealing on their hours. And a lot of times the bigger banks farm out to other companies such as myself to provide that. And depending on who they are, it's a whole different service. So you're not going to get that personal relationship. So those are things to look at, availability of the person, what's the total cost, not just the rate, because your rate can also be adjusted. And that's month to month. Pay attention on your statement accounts. Every month they send out, they tell you whether they're going to raise your rates. They tell you there's going to be a new charge. Fortunately, in the minutiae of running a business, you miss those things. And next thing you know, you're looking at your statement and say, well, how come this happened? Well, they told you that 2 months ago, because they have to give you a 30-day notice. And if you don't look at those statements, you miss out on those informationals that they're telling you and sending you to let you know. So review your statements monthly if possible, if not, you know, bi-monthly, but you set up a calendar, put something where you actually reviewing and, you know, have that. If you have a relationship with the person who sets up your account, then that's something that y'all can plan to just meet up and go over. But those are the things that I would suggest for entrepreneur, business owner. And I have to add this: focus on your business, find good partners who specialize in what they do. So if you're running a coffee shop, the idea is to get people in the doors, partner with somebody who's ethical, who does processing, who does accounting. So you don't have to, it's that the idea is not to learn every aspect of your business to perfection. Just find some good partners that you can trust. And I say partners, sources, resources to help you, who will provide that for you. And so you can run your business. So I would offer those tidbits, and I included that extra one as far as focus on your service and product.
No, that's huge. And especially obviously the last one is the biggest one, because like you mentioned, there's so many kind of parts of it and getting lost in the minutiae. You forget that, hey, I own this coffee shop. I'm actually supposed to be selling coffee, not looking at the statements all the time. But it's important, obviously, to do that. So that's why you try to find people that are partners or team members or people that you can have in your inner circle while you're running your business. You're working on your coffee shop, so you don't have to necessarily worry about, okay, well, my rate just went up and I'm not even aware of it. So things like that helps to have people that you can call and kind of have a conversation with.
Definitely, definitely. It's a team. It takes a team to win any championship or run any
successful business. Yeah, they used to say it takes a village to raise a child. Same thing, same concept.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, same concept. Everyone is involved. It's not you. When you just think about you, you definitely are bound to just fall down, because it's more than you that holds you up.
That makes perfect sense, yeah. So I know, obviously, we just turned the clock into 2018. Are there any kind of projects or plans that you have that you kind of want to let us know about or can let us know about that you have in the works for 2018 or even beyond that?
Definitely. I'm kind of moving, there's like three aspects. Add that value and just kind of share. I've been moved to start speaking on sales and helping motivate, do sales training. So one of the things I'm doing this year is 2 to 3 times a month, I'm doing like a 30 to 45 minute free sales training, motivational sales training to organizations. Just as I've gone through credit card processing, one of the things I love about credit card processing industry is that you get involved with so many different other businesses types, you know. So if I'm interested in cars, I can go to the auto industry, whatever I'm interested in. And so you kind of have a good understanding of some of the issues, problems that are out there. And sales, the bottom line of it, sales is a key source, a key part of any business. It's just involved. And unfortunately, I think business owners, or even if you have a sales team, it gets kind of, the idea of doing sales becomes, has this scar. And so I partnered up with one of my, you know, mentors, Eric Law Firm International, their sales organization. So I became a trainer where I'm just going out and trying to help besides provide, you know, credit card processing, add more value by helping them increase sales. It's not just, hey, let me provide a service for you. How can I help your business grow? Because I look at it as a partnership. I look at it as I'm in this, I'm trying to do the life of your business. I would like to be a part of it. And so what can I do? And so this year, I'm kind of focused on these speaking. I would like to hang out in the background. I'm not the person that's always in front. I give that to the others. I would like to be the owner of the building and other people come in and enjoy themselves. So this speaking is a little different for me because it's putting me out in the front, which, you know, I can handle it, but that's not my comfort level. And so I'm looking for organizations to give these speaking conversations to, is what I like to call them, because everything starts with a conversation and me speaking is more conversation with the audience. One of the philosophies I have as far as speaking is, or selling, is selling is equal to service. And if you can change that mindset frame, it kind of takes out like you're trying to manipulate. So you sell for modesty, integrity, and compassion as opposed to just selling for, I'm looking to get my product moved, but sell with that as the foundation of what you're doing. And it changes the whole dynamic and that energy level as well as come out as far as you're talking to somebody. So you're not trying to get your product, you're trying to offer something that can help this person. So those are some of the things that I'm looking to do, as well as looking to start a podcast and just speak. I started one, me and you spoke on this, but I'm developing that, just some of the different visions, thoughts I have on things that's going on. So I'm working on that and deepening my relationships with my existing connections. I've found, especially as you get older, sometimes you have these distant, whether it's LinkedIn, Facebook, you have all these people that you're connected to, so to speak, but there is no relationship. So I'm circling around and looking at family and looking at some of my associates and just seeing, hey, let's develop a deeper relationship. What's going on? So I'm consolidating, trying to focus on value and listen and be a better listener as opposed to just being here and you, I hear you, but I'm not listening to you. So those are like my top three of what I'm doing. I always have projects going, but these are what's going to be my 2018 focus. And we'll see how it goes from there.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a definitely busy 2018. So that's always a good thing. But no, I know when we spoke about, you know, you doing those talks or those conversations, as you said, to the teams, like, you're absolutely right. I always hear, and we've even had roundups that talk about how sales is the lifeblood of business. And a lot of people, you know, when it gets down to the nitty gritty, either you've sold or not enough or you haven't. And sometimes when businesses fail, it's just because you haven't made enough sales. Now, there's a lot more, you know, that goes into it. But I think that a lot of businesses sometimes struggle because they either lose sight of that, or that foundation or that reality of business is not really apparent. So, of course, you know, there's a negative stigma to sales, and we think it's like the Wolf of Wall Street, where, you know, you're forcing or conniving people into buying, you know, your products or services, but a lot of it is, you know, being of service and how can you help out people. So it definitely sounds like obviously you're doing that with the credit card process, but it's pretty awesome that you're even empowering other people to do that.
I appreciate that. It was evolution. It was just, you know, it was like, listen, you understand the need of, you have to sell a product. And as you just shared, if enough products are not sold, you're not going to have money revenue coming in. Why are people not coming in? If you're in that industry and understanding people, I've always been a deep thinker, so to speak. I guess the psychology degree as well. But understanding people and how to connect with them as a police officer, as a cop. You know, I'm constantly selling. You know, you may not look at it, but I'm selling. I'm selling whether peace or wrath, you know, what's going on. You know, I come to that connection. So I'm taking some of those lessons, just being a cop and how to deal with people. And trying to transfer that as well to a business owner to understand that situational awareness and connections and quickly connecting and understanding and not looking using empathy as opposed to just motivation and selflessness. So it might lead to something else, but you know, I feel there's definitely a need not connecting enough, and sales is the lifeblood and sales is in everything we do. You can utilize parables between all aspects. One quick one, which one of my mentors talks about, is just marriage. You know, marriage is a sell, you know, or dating. Starts off with dating, trust, rapport. I don't know you. Who are you? You meet somebody, you know, it's like this understanding, then it's growth, and then you sell the marriage. Will you marry me? Well, I don't know. You haven't provided enough value to me to say yes.
Exactly.
No, I don't think this is a good fit for us. If you move on to it. So, you know, it's everything it sells. And if you take away that stigma, as you talked about it, and understand, it's just really adding value and understanding whether there's a trust, like the build from there. Okay, I like your product. Some people come to you when they want something. You know, if you have a store and you have hey, let me see what you have. Oh, I always wanted this. It's easy. They walk in, brand awareness. People go to Best Buy because they don't have electronics. They built that brand. They come in, they have what I want. I'm looking for. But as somebody is a small entrepreneur, you still have to build that trust to know that what you're offering is valuable. And if you're doing the service industry, you definitely have to build that trust before you go into any, hey, this is what I have to offer.
Right. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And I think sometimes people get lost in that. And yeah, sales is literally everywhere you go. You're always buying or selling something. If there was no sales, then the world wouldn't go around if you really look at it. So whether you're a politician or, like you mentioned, a police officer, or you're an entrepreneur, a business owner, you are selling or buying something. So it's important to kind of understand it. And it has a lot of different phrases and words. But like you said, if you get down on one knee, ask somebody to marry you, then that's definitely the biggest part of sales, because you're asking for the clothes. So it's important to kind of keep that in mind.
I didn't get that set.
For next time. So I know, obviously, you touched on the fact that you're in the D.C., Maryland, and Virginia area. Like, what do you think makes this area such a great place to be an entrepreneur and business owner?
You have three different areas squeezed into a small geographical area, and each offers its own unique flavor. You know, it's like a rum cake with all sorts of rums in it. You know, it offers so much. Between education, between government. As a business owner, you have people who come in and out of this area, and they stay for extended periods of time on a regular basis. If they're in government, D.C. area, if they're in D.C. and the new administration comes in, so you have people from all across the country coming in, across the world, embassies. If you're in Maryland, you have this MGM, they're building up. There's so much in Virginia. You have portions of the government and the economics, you know, there's a higher than average salary, so you have a lot of discretionary spending, extra money in the educational level. Depending on what your product is, you have people who are willing to try, and they have the means to try, and they're educated enough to, you know, depending again on your product, to look up, review, give it a shot and see what's going on. So this is a unique area. It's squeezed into a small area, but there's like so much between the arts, education. I can go down this list if I can remember it, but it is really unique. And I go to food, but it's a dish, you know, they have gumbo, but this is a good gumbo version in this area. For a business owner, you knew You can come here, and if you find your demographic in this area, and that's key, understanding who your customer is, you have an opportunity to find that customer in this area because you have so many different demographics, to be honest with you, to meet your needs. And they have the means to exchange their money for your product. And so this is a very unique and different. Some people don't stay here long, especially with the military. Being, if you're looking to get with the government, this is the government. And so whether you're looking for contracts with the government, with the various different state agencies, being squeezed into this area, you know, the DMV area is, it's you get three flavors for the price of one. Go back to food. So it's a fantastic area for a new entrepreneur, or even a seasoned entrepreneur to expand their business, depending on to the scale that they're looking to do.
Yeah, I definitely would echo all of that. And yeah, it's definitely a great place. There's a tremendous amount of opportunity. And it's definitely like a melting pot where there's like so many different cultures and, you know, so many different ages, and people are coming and going. So they're not usually staying here for a long time. So usually you get a lot of, you know, different people that are always here. So definitely that a DMV is a great place to be, somewhat of the land of opportunity. So I truly appreciate you, Barry. You gave us a lot of great, you know, content and information. So I appreciate you kind of taking time out of your schedule. Now, I wanted to give you the floor to see if there's anything additional that you wanted to kind of tell our readers or our listeners, and then also ask if people want to reach out to you, what's the best way in order to do that?
The best way is to give you my company website. On that, I have a scheduling where you just schedule a one-on-one session. If you have a statement that you want me to review, one of the things I'm doing, I'm also starting for the first five businesses that, you know, want me to review their credit card processing statement, I'm giving $5 gift card. So a lot of times people say, you know, we do free review of your credit card processing statement. I say, let me pay you to review it. So for the first five, I'm paying $5 for a gift card. So on my website, which is the Blue Group LLC, and it's spelled theblugroupllc.com. You can click on, there's a link there to upload a statement. We review it and let you know where you are. If it's healthy, then stay with them. If it's not healthy, we'll give you some remedy and cold medicine to take care of that. One of the things is I would want to leave the readers, listeners, is to show up for whatever you're doing. If you haven't shown up, it shows in whether you're profitable. If you haven't shown up in your relationship, it shows if it's healthy. If you haven't showed up with your kids, things are going away. It shows. So show up. Show up to whatever you're doing, you're planning. I keep it business focused. Show up at your business. Show up with your people, because your people are your business. And whether they're your customers or if you're staff, just show up for them. Be there for them. And those things, if you take care of the basics, all the complicated things that come on top of that, those kind of fall in place. But if your foundation is poor, which is your people, and then your process, then your profitability will suffer. Final note, again, I'm giving 2 to 3 a month free 30-minute training sessions. They're motivational in nature. They can be online. We're focusing on that. So if you're a networking, marketing group, real estate, brokers, insurance brokers, if you have a sales team and you just want somebody to possibly give them some nuggets, everyone at least one nugget from the free sessions, as well as I'm giving away a free PDF version of one of Amazon bestsellers, The System. This is my training mentor. So those are some of the things I want to give away and add value, and hopefully it makes a difference in your life. But remember to show up.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Thank you so much, Barry. Make sure to show up. Everybody from CB Nation, show up. That's definitely something that we need to put into action today. So, Barry, thank you so much for kind of taking time out of your schedule again. I truly appreciate you and all the knowledge that you gave. So I hope you have a good rest of the day.
I appreciate you, and keep up doing what you're doing, and you showing up.